Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CapRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and cap roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your cap roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Hey, everybody. This is Lillian over here in Breakaway Land, bringing you a super fun interview with Danielle Lohman, known in the industry as the Danny Lowe Show. Just so you have a little context, this episode was recorded while Danny was competing in her Super Series bracket at Rodeo Houston, and she went on to advance to the semifinals, winning a total of $4,500 there. Currently, she's number two in the world with about $54,000 won and has had a great winter run so far, winning both Fort Worth and San Antonio. Without further ado, we're going to turn it over to the Danny Lowe Show. It's time to rope. Let's go. Good morning, Danny. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Just out here getting things ready for tonight's rodeo.
Yes, ma'am. Got second round in Houston tonight, riding Boomer.
Yes, Boomer. Riding Boomer over here. Long score. Times are a little longer, so going to chase them down on him.
Went 3-5 last night. Definitely something you got to be ready to take more than one swing on us.
Yeah, more than one swing. It's hardest thing to do in my life, I tell you.
Awesome. So we'll dive right in, kind of throw it back to the beginning of Danny Lohman. Now, remind me your hometown. I think it says Gilbert, Arizona, right?
Well, my hometown, like where I'm originally from, is called, on the reservation, it's called Whitecomb. And that's originally where I'm from. But my, living situation is in Gilbert, Arizona, yes.
Okay.
Like, and I live in, kind of live in the city.
You're city girl now.
Kind of.
You're like, I won't claim that. So how many years were you on the res? Just up until you're 18?
No. I had been living on the res with my dad from 7th all the way to high school on the reservation. So I'm going to say from like 11 or 12 around that area. Is that right? I don't know. Somewhere around there. Or 13.
Yeah, just kind of the preteen years up until closer to graduation.
Yeah, I graduated from Holbrook High School. So I would ride the bus every day for an hour. Literally felt like military life growing up from the reservation to, just to get to Holbrook. You know, Holbrook is about 45, maybe about 50 minutes north of where I'm from. And it's pretty much home. It's where I grew up. My parents are both from there, from Whitecone. The community is called Whitecone. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the population is about 800, maybe 800 people that live around, but we're all, it's on the reservation. And, you know, there's a lot of space in between all of us. So, my mom and dad probably live maybe about 30 miles within each other.
Wow. And what were some of the parts you appreciated about growing up on the reservation?
You know, I guess just having your family around, like growing up and, you know, everyone being together on the weekends. Like, but on weekdays, you know, we would all, you know, we had commute to work, got to commute to school, you know what I mean? So growing up with my dad, he took care of me and my little sister. Well, my mom lived in Snowflake, Arizona. And she lived there until I was like maybe 20. And she moved back to the reservation. So that's kind of what, where home is when I go home, you know, go to my family. I have so much family on the reservation, so I go go to that community and I'll see everyone from mom's side, dad's side. Takes me about a good 4 days to visit all my family out there.
It sounds like a good time, honestly.
Yes, it is. It's a great time. I love when we have like family gatherings out there because like everybody has to bring like, you know, food. Like, so we don't have to go to town at all. So everyone will like, you know, get food and drinks for a couple of days and we'll all go home and hang out there at my Nollies where I learned how to rope. That's on my dad's side. His parents' place. And my family, you know, have an arena out there. My uncles and my cousins, some of them, they rope. So, you know, we have a blast out there. Rope cattle for the weekend. Ride horses. Everyone's around. It's a lovely time.
It sounds awesome. So, speaking of roping, when were you first interested in it? When did it start kind of piquing your interest and you wanted to be a part of that world?
You know, my dad had always had horses. Like he started roping late. So my dad always had horses when I was growing up. Like I'm going to say he started roping around when he was like 30, 31, 32, because he went to the Air Force. So he was based in the Air Force, for a couple years out of high school. So then, you know, he would, be around, roping a little bit at home after he got home from the Air Force. And he would always have horses. Like he was just this thing, I guess, when he got home, he wanted to be a cowboy. And, after that, you know, I was born and when he had come home from the Air Force and then like just growing up, he would go to team roping jackpots. I mean, I guess he just got, you know, invested in it on his own after the Air Force. And, you know, from 30 to probably 50, probably like 50, about 50 years old, he got pretty good. And he went to the Indian finals, I think, a couple times. And, you know, and then when I started to, you know, get older, he would just put me on his horses and let me ride them. So he always had me riding a horse from when I was a little kid, you know, like had me riding horses around. And then until I got to about 13, 14, he had gotten sick and got cancer, colon cancer. So then, you know, he would go to the hospital a lot and he had me riding horses all the way until then. And then actually my uncle, since all my cousins rope, like, you know, we all did junior rodeos and whatnot, but I don't really honestly remember, like, I'm pretty sure he would put me in it, but not push me like to rope. You know what I mean? Like he wouldn't push me to rope. He just put me in the barrels. Like he had more fun being a barrel racing coach than anything else, I believe.
Should have been a barrel racing coach for somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have. But then after a while, you know, he was going to chemo and stuff and I would spend the weekends with my uncles and my cousins that rope. And I started to head a lot and that's what I started. Like everyone got me on the best head horse they had, my uncles, and we'd go jackpotting and I would head for them and, you know, they'd put me in the lower number ropings. And after a while, you know, he would see, like he'd come outside and, you know, hang out with us a little bit and he would see me roping and then all of a sudden he's like, all right, well, you're gonna take this serious, let's get you a healing dummy and make you, you know, heal some steers too. Like you can do both sides. Like it's not that hard. So after that, he really picked up in it and started helping me with my roping drills and, my uncle too, you know, we'd always rope the dummy. Like it's kind of funny because like when I was in high school, I'd get home until like 7 o'clock at night from school because, you know, he always put me in sports. So he had me in sports playing and with that commute, like that's 50 minutes onto our time of driving. So, you know, we'd go to practice, get home, And I'd roped a dummy for like 30 minutes every night before I went to bed. And he would sit outside in the dark with me, and we'd just kind of hang out and rope the dummy, you know, just that was our thing. Like, just talk about our day, and he would, you know, listen to me. And my little sister lived with us at the time at his parents' place right there. Like, they had a house next door. So, you know, it was good to live on the reservation with him. And it was so quiet, you know. I remember growing up, it was quiet. It was just always me and him roping the dummy. And that's kind of how, you know, I would spend a lot of time dummy roping when I really got invested to it. And then he took me to a couple rodeos, like junior rodeos on the reservation growing up. Not a lot. Like, I don't think I did it a lot. Like, it was just a summer thing. Like, that's all we did summertime, you know? So that's when I would enter. But when I was in school, it was all school and sports. And then, you know, the older I got, he would kind of let me run around with my friends, and we'd go jackpotting, team roping. And I remember, you know, about 14 or 15, I won my first jackpot ever with Matt Sherwood, I believe. And, man, I was young. That was like one of my first big jackpot team roping wins. I remember that. And, you know, since then, like, I would keep going, just, you know, go to jackpots and hang out. And then when I got into college, after I lost my dad my senior year, and I got to college, and I was team roping, of course, on a scholarship out there at Diné College on the reservation. And my coach, you know, she got me because, you know, I was like a team roper and stuff. And, you know, by then, Breakaway was in college. And I remember my dad always telling me, like, you should break away, you should break away. And I was like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. You know, it was just too fast for me. But, you know, I wasn't good. I didn't have the confidence of handling the rope so good because I was just a rider. You know, just you used to go around through barrels, go between the poles. You know, I wasn't like, I mean, I didn't have that much confidence in my team roping or, you know, my roping that much.
I was going to say that it sounds like roping is a really meaningful way for you to connect with your dad and connect with his memory.
Yeah, like, I think that's the one thing about it. And then when I had lost him my senior year when I was 18, we lost him to cancer that year. And, you know, I took a break. I didn't want to rope. I quit everything, like sports and stuff. Like, he wanted me to go to the Air Force, like literally had me signed up to go to the Air Force when I was going to graduate. And I didn't want to do that. So I didn't go, and I just ended up going to college and, you know, finding myself slowly. Like, that's kind of how it all started. And that's when I, you know, started staying with my grandparents in the Valley in Gilbert. And then, you know, they kind of helped me, you know, come back to rodeo and, you know, push me to go rope and stuff like that again. And for a minute there, you know, I didn't even want to rope at all for a whole year. I turned my horses out. My uncle took care of them for me. I was in college. And one day I finally found the itch again because of my cousins. They were roping and my grandparents were with them too. And Ron and Frida Alex and Gilbert, and like, man, that's when I got motivated. And, you know, just become having a good team again, like having the support that I needed to have when, you know, things were going so well, they picked me back up and, you know, started to push me for my dreams, you know, being a roper and trying to be the best that I can be. And, you know, the support and the belief that they had in me and my family, you know, it finally struck me again to go pursue those dreams. And from 2013 all the way to like 2016, I was into rodeo. And too, like, when I got into college and started breakaway rope, my coach, you know, wanted me to enter breakaway roping, and she helped me, you know, try to just, I mean, she would make me mount up at the college rodeos just so I could breakaway rope. So it was nice, you know, to mount up at those rodeos and, you know, find a way to breakaway rope. And then I had a heel horse, but she didn't know breakaway at the time. Like, I didn't know how to train one. I didn't know nothing about breakaway, you know, just, it was just like a thing that I went and started slowly in about 2012, 2013. That's when I started breakaway roping. After that, it was nonstop.
And as far as the team roping goes, were you more partial to the head or the heel side?
When I started, like, I would always heel a lot. Like, when I'd go places like the BFI, the Wildfire, those are the things that my dad would want. He always sent me to those ropings. Like, I think I remember coming to the Wildfire when I was, like, maybe 17 one year. And he would send me with Debbie Robbins. She's a cousin sister of mine. And she's like a probably four-time WPRA world champion roper back in the day. And then he would send me with her, and she knew how to rope. She knew how to team rope and stuff. So she would take me to those team ropings, and I'd enter with her. And that's kind of how he would send me off, you know, with a good coach and someone who didn't, who knew, you know, where to go and what to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're about to start releasing those old Wildfires on roping.com, so we can all relive the olden days of the Wildfire team ropings.
Yeah, those, I don't remember, man. I went to a couple, maybe two in Salado, maybe, I'm not sure. And then I think I finally won it when it went to Hamilton in 2019. So, you know, around those times, I had hardly gone, you know. It was that time was a blur. Like, I wasn't really committed. I would just come just to have fun and rope. But then I'd have to go home and go to work, and, you know, go back to school or do whatever I was doing. Back then, I think I was working in rodeo and trying to get better at breakaway, kind of on the low. But had a 40-hour week pay. And, you know, just living life out there, trying to make a way for myself.
What were you doing?
I did a little bit of just homework. Like, you know, my family, they're big on construction. A lot of my family do construction work. So, you know, just whatever they need me to do. I was a helper. I was a welder helper. I was a framer, like metal framer worker. We did the layouts. You know, we'd do all kinds of stuff. Like, whatever they need help with, I'd go help.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah. So we know a lot about that, you know, did work like that. But my family, they work like that. You know, they work in the construction site, and, you know, the city of Phoenix is so big now that you can find a job anywhere out there in the construction world. You know, like, I think I did pipe fitting too for a year because it was, you know, a higher paying job and it was easy. So, you know what I mean? Like, it was just hardcore grind, like stuff like that, whatever field they needed you and you would go.
Yeah. You were working and roping.
Yes, and it was fun. I was Indian rodeoing a lot. I was Indian rodeoing, found me a breakaway horse. My grandparents and Gilbert helped me get a breakaway horse, and we bought our first breakaway horse, I believe, in 2015, our first ever breakaway horse from Sylvester Mayfield. And that's my grandpa, the one that I travel with. He's the one who bought our first breakaway horse.
Your grandpa seems like a super cool dude.
He is. He, you know, he works hard too. Like, he's a retired electrical guy. So, you know, he was doing construction. Like, you know, he would know where to find jobs. Like, he'd go, hey, go work over here. They'll hire you. You know what I mean? Like, he knew the industry too, you know? So, you know, back then, you know, he was like, man, we bet you we can, you know, find something that's good. And back then, $6,500 was a lot of money, but it wasn't as much as what money is today, you know?
I mean, $6,500 still sounds pretty good, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. And You know, like, that's, we bought our first breakaway horse from Shad's dad, and that's when I first seen Shad. He was just a kid, and we went over there and tried out a few horses, and we ended up buying one and went on to our Indian rodeo days. And man, we started kicking butt after we figured out, you know, a horse. She was a runner, but not a stopper. She'd run to the calf, get you dead. As long as you go up and stop her, you'd be fine. It was funny because one time Shad's dad was like, man, you don't need something to stop. You just need something to run.
I didn't realize you'd known his family that long.
Yeah, his family, you know, we got introduced them from, you know, some family friends that said, you know, they had some horses, you know, just, we were in the rodeo, go to Oklahoma and we do it as a family, go to Oklahoma, go to Montana, go to a couple rodeos and then, you know, be done. Like it was maybe like a week and we'd go on the weekends, but be home, you know, we'd come home. Like there was no, like we'd come home and work, you know what I mean? So we always did trips, like fast trips back in the day.
So when did you start transitioning from full-time Indian rodeo to PRCA?
I'm going to say in 2019 is when I had won the BFI that year. In 2019 with Debbie Robbins, and the BFI was in Reno. By then, you know, I was getting better at team roping. And then I think in 2019, I was traveling with Macy Young, and she was coming out here for some rodeos, and we had got together, and she said, you know, we could rope if I could go with her. So I went with her, and we come out here for the wildfire, and I ended up winning the wildfire that year. And she had roped at Fort Worth. That was the first year breakaway roping at Fort Worth. And I honestly remember sitting way up there on top, being a team roper only, and watching them breakaway girls rope and not be down there. And that gave me the itch. Like, I want to rope here. Like, you know what I mean? I want to rope here. And so it is a great feeling to like accomplish that goal of, you know, winning Fort Worth. That's something that, you know, I can remember sitting way the hell up there in the bleachers.
I didn't realize that was such a full circle win for you.
I know, right? It's crazy.
So that would have been 5 years from 2019 to 2024.
Yes, ma'am.
That's insane. Can you tell us a little bit from your perspective about how the sport of breakaway has changed in these last few years?
Oh gosh, it has changed so much. You know, like I remember like going home after that trip in 2019 and telling myself, man, I need a breakaway horse. If I can buy me one, I would be okay, you know. So then that was the year, the following year, I think in 2020, I had tried out a few breakaway horses going home and didn't like anything, but was still trying to breakaway rope, you know, on the same horse that I had. But I knew that I needed a better horsepower to like hang with these girls. So that's when I started to like, you know, look for one. It took me about a year. And then in 2021, I had bought my first breakaway horse that I thought that I was going to be okay if I bought this horse. I was going to be able to, you know, try it out. So when I had bought that horse, she had gave me the confidence and I started to win more. And, you know, from then it has been a building stage. Every year this breakaway roping has gone to another level within the last 3 to 4 years that I've been competing like professionally. You know what I mean? So every year, like, man, you got kids coming up like just a minute ago, I was playing basketball with Braylee Shepherd. Like, she's only 19 years old, and you know, as good as she ropes, as the horsepower she's on, you know, like, man, it's a game changer when it comes to, you know, you being right there in the middle and having playing basketball with Braylee Shepherd and knowing how talented she is. You know what I mean?
So yeah, you're like, I got to keep on my game if I'm going to keep winning.
That's the thing, is it's believing in yourself and just looking for opportunity. And there's so much opportunity out there, you know, there's a bunch of opportunity. Every day you go out trying to figure out this breakaway life of, you know, competitiveness that the girls have. Like, it's a tough world out there.
And I absolutely love what you said when I talked to you about winning San Antonio, talking about watching Derek rope, always watching the team roping, and then talked to Derek and he came back and said that to go from being the inspired cowboy to the one inspiring the next generation is kind of uncomfortable, but it's important.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Yeah. That's something that, you know, we're on that platform of trying to inspire the next generation. And that's what I mean. Like, hanging out with Braylee and, you know, just listening to what mentality she has and the next mentality that the next people are going to have, you know, like Sarah Angeloni, she's right in the middle of me and Braylee, and she is freaking phenomenal. You know what I mean? Like, we're all on different stages, but there is a freaking cutthroat roper in each division.
I know. And I love the horse training side of Sarah. She's a rank roper in the rodeos, but to me, I just love what a horseman she is.
Yes, the horse woman she is, man. She's like a horse whisperer with them. So, you know what I mean? Like, just to have that horsepower that she has and the way she makes them work, man, I get to sit there all day and watch her work them, and I tell you the truth, it's the best thing you ever see is when she goes and freaking runs one down, standing there rock solid and just gets the slide out of them. That stuff is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know? And the horsepower, the fastness of it, like, it's a growing industry. Like, I'm telling you, those horses, she has the horse on every level, from fast to whatever you want. Like, man, she can make them work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really fun. I'm looking forward to our shoot together here in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. Tell me about it.
Give a little plug for Danny and Sarah content coming to ropin.com. Hey guys, I just had to take a moment and tell you about today's episode sponsor, Purina Animal Nutrition. Level up your horse's performance this season with choices from Purina Animal Nutrition. From Purina Ultium Competition Formula to Purina Impact Pro Performance and everything in between, Purina has the right option for your horse, including supplements like Purina Super Sport Amino Acid Supplement, Purina Amplify High Fat Supplement, and Purina Outlast Gastric Support Supplement. There are so many choices for optimal nutrition when you choose Purina, all backed by science. Level up your performance this season and put Purina's research to the test. Ask for Purina at your local feed retailer today. And now it's back to the episode. So when did Shabizz come into the picture?
I believe we bought her in August 2022 in July. And we were looking for a horse, me and my family, and, you know, we just wanted something different. So, you know, I've always been a fan of Shelby Beaujolais stints. I'm going to say I've met her maybe in 2013 or 14. She was in Arizona, and she would always be down there, and I would see her team rope, and she was a really good team roper. So I knew Shelby just from going to those team roping jackpots in Arizona and would see her around, you know. And so I followed her on Instagram, and she would post, you know, horses and, you know, just say she was living in Texas and had a bunch of horses, you know, for sale the majority of the time. And I think it was in 2012 when we really started to go. She had posted a horse that she needed to get rid of before summer, but it didn't sell. So I waited until like maybe after summer, August, around that area. And, you know, I think that was the first year that they were having breakaway roping in Texas. That 1 year, what year was that they had, they were having breakaway the first year in Texas?
I feel like it really started coming on in 2021 because Fort Worth was in 2019. They had the NFR in Texas in 2020.
So it must have been somewhere else then. I can't remember. Well, maybe it was in 2021 is when I purchased her. Yeah. I think in 2021 is the year I purchased her. I think it was then. I'm not sure. But so Shelby posted that horse, and I ended up buying, we ended up buying Shabizz from her in August.
I did not remember that.
Yeah. So we bought her, my family and I, from Shelby. And I'm going to say she was the fastest horse and the prettiest horse I have ever been on. And she just had a messed up mind. Like, her mind was going 100 miles an hour. So we couldn't, you know, breakaway on her for a minute because I didn't know how. Honestly, I still don't know how to make a horse stop because I struggle with that. That's my weakness. It's probably the reason why I'm stuck with Sarah, so she could teach me how to make a horse stop. You know, that's the one
thing. A mutually beneficial relationship.
Yeah, because I don't know how to make a horse stop. I'm being honest. I just let that horse stop however it wants. But Shabazz was like that. I didn't know how to make her stop, so she would run away with me all the time until I figured out how to make her stop the way I wanted. And now, you know, we have a better relationship. We went to turn her into a team roping horse at first. My cousins, you know, they team rope a lot during the winter time just because there's a lot of team ropings down there now. So they spend a majority of the time team roping, and they would come over, and, you know, we'd all go to jackpots together. Chantel and Cameron, we'd always go to jackpots. And Cameron's an eight. My cousin Cameron, he's an eight-plus yearler. So he would heel a bunch of steers on Shabizz just to get her to be calm. And I end in rodeo with my family, Cameron and Chantel, Sinatini. We all go to Indian rodeos together. So I would let him heel on her. And that I still had little Bo, my buckskin, my first one that I bought from the Wangert Ranch. That was my first breakaway horse that gave me confidence, you know, to try the professional side of it. But then we bought Shabizz, and we started to retrain her, you know, make her the way we wanted her. She come to, you know, I think I seasoned her in 2022 to 2023. I took her on the road and tried to ride her, but I still had Little Mo. So I was using Little Mo too, and I was using Shabizz as a backup. And after a while, you know, she started to step up and really take pride in what she was doing. And now she's at the top of the line, and I end up losing Little Mo. So I end up finding Boomer, and we got another one at home too. We have a few more at home that, you know, we haven't really took, but they're they're all getting seasoned. You know, we season them in Indian Rodeo, so it's nice to go to Indian Rodeos and be able to season someone, you know, when I'm not pro rodeoing or I'm at home, I'm writing other stuff that we're working on to, that they can, you know, be a backup or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice deal with my family. You know, we all like to rodeo. We all like to ride horses when I'm home. And, you know, just a, it's a family deal. And, you know, getting to go home on the reservation, my cousins live, you know, we all get together, talk crap about each other's horses and say who, you know, is doing the right thing. You know, it's kind of funny. It's a family affair, so it's nice.
Some good old fashioned tough love.
Yes. And that's just kind of how we go about, you know, go home, spend time with family and talk about what we need to improve on with horses and life. And it's a great family fun. You know, my family's so big. So it's when you're Navajo, man, you got four clans and you go by them and you'll find out who's your relative, who's your aunt, who's your grandpa, who's your grandma. It's a big culture.
Okay. So let's discuss a little bit about what's next for the Danny Lowe Show. What are some of your goals for the 2024 season? I mean, you're leading the field by about double what the next person has, 50,000, and it's not even March.
You know what? I am an ear-by-play type of person, so I only know as much as you do right now, and we're just going to go with that.
You just roll and see what you and Sarah Ann are up in and let the rest take care of itself?
Yeah, because try not to think about it too much. I mean, go on in life every day doing the best you can do it. And, you know, let the pieces will fall where it needs to fall.
Yeah. So what does a normal day in the life look like for you right now?
You know, normal day of the life. Get up every day, feed horses, ride and warm up horses and rope and pull the sled for young ones. You know, just working hard at it and learning how to get better each and every day and talking to my family on the phone. You know, my family's been talking a lot to me lately, you know, about the runs on TV, what I'm thinking about, you know, just like personal life level stuff. And I mean, every day you don't know what's going to happen. So try to live the day the best way you can and being thankful and grateful for what you have and just, you know, trying to be a, you know, good person in each step you take. And that's the best way to live it because life is too short and who knows how long this is going to last, man. You know, everyone has their year and that's the one thing I enjoy about rodeo is I know, you know, I've worked hard to get to where I'm at and it's fallen in the area it needs to fall in. And, you know, we always dreamed of winning all these rodeos. It's always a bucket list deal and just trying to focus on what the next step is, you know, we got a lot of ropings coming up and a lot of good industry stuff is growing. And, you know, it's exciting to just go out and be the best version of yourself and, you know, have a rope in your hand and promote women's roping. You know, everyone ropes good. So, you know, it's a good deal, like to just be out there and be who you are and what matters, matters.
Yeah. Roping's just a bonus for the rest of life.
Yes. Yes. And that's the way I look at it. It's good to take it the way you need to take it. You know, I enjoy it right now. You know, who knows how long I'll be able to enjoy this life. So I'm doing the best I can and trying to promote it in the way I feel like it should be promoted and that's just the way I look at it. I'm not, my goals are different, Farley, from rodeo, you know, like this is just a yearly goal that the past 4 years that seen, you know, Jackie, Martha, Sawyer, no, Jackie, Sawyer, Martha, you know, Shelby, win all those gold buckles, man, that's, it's something that's in front of you. And those are, you know, goals that are achievable, you know, within all age, all size, all race, whatever you are, anyone can achieve that.
Yeah, I love seeing the diversity in the breakaway field, and I feel like we have more room to bring more people into the fold as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a growing industry, and that's what it is. It's like, you know, everyone talks about, you know, the older ladies talk about how they want their kids to have the opportunity to go to the Thomas and Mack. That's a freaking great goal. Let's achieve that, you know? That's, and, you know, the fraternity side of it, that stuff is big, you know. There's so many girls out here who are headed that division, like headed that way, you know, now. So that's great, you know. Like this morning I was talking to Joey, she's like, we have some young horses, we want to start, you know, shifting that way too, you know what I mean? There's room for everybody to have success, and that's it's a growing industry. That's what I mean, like everyone's gonna have their year. And shit, if you have your year, great job to you. You know, it's a tough world out there.
Yeah. Like you mentioned, the fraternity industry, you know, if you're not going to be doing the pro rodeos, you could be making horses and selling good breakaway horses for a lot.
Yeah. And growing that industry. And that's what people are doing. And that's just the way it is. Like, that's good. Like, that's what a lot of people, you know, are headed toward. That's another eye opener, you know, just having an eye open for each division is great. And if you want to grow that area, grow that area, you know, kudos to you. That's a great industry to be in and grow. You know what I mean?
100%. It's really exciting. Well, guys, we started with Danny's life story and ended with philosophy. I think it's such a great reminder, though, that rodeo is such a gift. We get zeroed in on how you did at one rodeo and what the next one is without taking a moment and realizing what a privilege it is to get to rope and ride for a living. I mean, it's really hard for sure, but like there are people out there with jobs and hobbies they're not passionate about. And like Danny said, we don't know how long we're going to be here, so we need to enjoy life now. Looking ahead on the breakdown next week, you'll have a tie down episode with my co-host Taylor Vollen, and then I'll be back with more breakaway content. Until then, stay safe, and thanks for listening to The Breakdown.